Welcome to the Carve a Monster Hunter podcast, where you can bone up on hunting monsters. Episode 119. I'm your host, SBJ.
And I'm Micah.
And we're here to talk about monsters and hunting them. And that's probably it.
That's all of it.
Those two things. Monsters and hunting them. My monitor is offset. It's really bothering me. All right, fixed. All right, back to monsters. We have two things to talk about, although I guess they're broken into segments. So the first thing we are going to talk about is probably the Resident Evil stuff, which Micah has.
Yes.
And then the second thing we're going to talk about is the first free title update for Iceborne brings Rajang and more end game content. So I have the press release for that, because obviously every single Capcom employee listens to this show. And yes, last week we talked about we want more silly things in Monster Hunter.
The timing. It's just impeccable.
They were like, all right, guys, the Carve has spoken. Release the Resident Evil content.
I wonder, in all actuality, we do know that some people who work at Capcom do listen to the show. I wonder what it's like on their end to hear us complain about things like this, like not enough wacky content, and hear that knowing that they're about to release or announce something.
I still think it was so funny for, what, 40-some episodes? We were like, crossovers, you know, Final Fantasy would be really good.
I even, at one point, I believe when Resident Evil 2 came out, said that I was expecting a Resident Evil crossover.
Yeah, I'm surprised it took so long.
Me too.
But
I'm here for it.
Yeah, and you have what it is. So if you're listening, you're like, wait, what are you talking about, Resident Evil? Pretend I don't know anything.
Well, let me tell you.
Perfect.
Since you know nothing about the Resident Evil crossover.
I don't.
And you haven't read anything on Twitter.
Never seen it.
You don't know that it exists.
I don't even know what Resident Evil is.
I believe it was October. This article, at least, is from October 4th. This is from The Verge, which leads me to believe that it was announced on the 4th. And I think that's true because we were both at a wedding when it was announced. As also with tradition on this podcast, we're in the middle of doing something when there is some new content announced. This is from The Verge. Back in September, Monster Hunter World received its first and only major expansion in the form of the Frigid Iceborne, but that doesn't mean the game isn't still getting updates. In fact, in November, World will receive arguably its strangest new content to date, with a crossover featuring the undead world of Resident Evil. The trailer for the crossover starts out normal enough, introducing Resident Evil mainstays Leon and Claire as playable characters. But then things get strange. There are now zombified hunters and monsters in World, along with a space that looks like a winter cabin mixed with a Resident Evil mansion. Don't worry, I'm going to clarify some of this.
Zombies coming back?
I'm going to clarify some of what they're talking about and what was actually shown, because this leads me to believe that they haven't played a ton of Iceborne, so don't get your hopes up quite yet. There's even a thriller-style zombie dance. The trailer ends with none other than Resident Evil 2's notorious Mr. X making an appearance, behaving in a much more wholesome manner than players will be accustomed to. Of course, Monster Hunter World is no stranger to these kinds of crossover events, with the likes of Horizon Zero Dawn's Aloy and Geralt from The Witcher making appearances in the game, but the Resident Evil mashup looks like it will take things to a whole new level. We know it's launching sometime next month, but we'll likely hear more details soon about when it will be available and what exactly the crossover will include. So, from watching the trailer, when they say things like Leon and Claire are playable characters, what they mean is there will be Leon and Claire layered armor, probably, because you don't really just... Aside from Geralt, I think, which was a unique experience, you don't really just play characters You are your own character. And the mansion in the mm-hmm. wintry cabin that they're talking about being this new, describing it as this new wintry haunted cabin, it's just your house. It's just your house in Iceborne. In the trailer,
are
they
you
show
saying
a clip.
The Verge got some things wrong?
Maybe just a little bit. I can see to somebody who maybe doesn't know a ton about Monster Hunter World or hasn't played a ton of it would be like confused by this. Just watching the trailer by itself. The trailer's incredible, by the way. They kind of remake the opening scene of or one of the opening cinematics of Resident Evil 2 with Claire doing something or inspecting something and Leon pointing a gun at her and saying, look out. And she says, don't shoot. And behind her is something. In this case, it's, I think, a Black Veil Volhazak, the Iceborne Master Rank Volhazak variant. And then they kind of run around. It's really good. And they show the Iceborne title card, but it's using the Resident Evil font. And the R and the E in Iceborne are red.
Ooh.
And the classic Resident Evil announcer says Iceborne in the Resident Evil voice. It's really good. As someone who is a big fan of Resident Evil, I was losing my mind.
You really sold me on this trailer.
I watched this when we were in Minnesota for our mutual friend's wedding that we both were standing in. I watched it without sound the first time, and I was like, this is bonkers. And when we got back, then I like rewatched it with sound, and it made it a way better experience.
Okay, good to know. I also like the I like the word bonkers.
Bonkers. So the mansion that they're talking about is just your house in Iceborne, which is kind of like, you know, your cabin, the customizable cabin that you have. There are a couple things though that they show in the trailer that they didn't talk about in this article that I'm kind of excited for. One of them being that there are things that you can put on your... So if you don't know, in your cabin, you can decorate it a little bit. You can put things on the walls.
Yes.
And you can put things on shelves and so on. So one of the things that they show is on the walls, there is a big framed painting that says Stars, Raccoon City Police Department. And it's got like kind of like awards and plaques and placards and whatever. So that's probably something that you can put up in your house. On the shelves, there's also first aid spray and some green herbs and things like that. So you can customize it a little bit. On the table, there's a typewriter, which if you don't know, in the games, you use a typewriter to save. There's also a Mr. Raccoon, which is like the Raccoon City mascot. And in the remake, there were Mr. Raccoon bobbleheads that you could shoot for like collectibles, but you can also put that on your shelf, it looks like. And yeah, then they, as far as zombified monsters go, they didn't really, there's not, that's just, I think, The Verge not understanding that like Volhazak is a monster that exists already, or that. Ebony Odogaron is a thing that exists, I guess, maybe. Unless they know more than we do from looking at this trailer, because the T-Grex just looks like a T-Grex, doesn't look like a zombie T-Grex. But maybe they're going to do zombie monsters. There are zombie hunters, but I'm also guessing that that's probably maybe like layered armor or something. Or maybe it's a character customization thing that you can do. Because they all kind of have like different gear sets on, like it's not one set of armor with like a zombie face, it's just the character looks kind of zombie-ish.
Sure.
There's also a Thriller Dance, which is a new emote. Yeah, I don't know, it looks really wacky. Also Mr. X, if you have played Resident Evil 2,
not to be confused with the Tyrant,
Mr. X in the black trench coat and fedora who hunts you down through the game, it looks like is now going to be a handler outfit, which is maybe my favorite and easily the most wacky part, the most bonkers part of this crossover. It's really kind of weird and unsettling to look at, and I love it a lot. I didn't really see anything as far as Palico gear goes, anything new Palico-wise, but there are two things that I did notice. The trailer ends with Claire wielding a greatsword, and she has a little charm on the end of the greatsword that is Tofu from Resident Evil 2, which is like a secret, goofy side character thing where you are a block of tofu that runs around. And there was also a charm that was the Umbrella logo. So I don't know if they're just like adding charms to weapons or if these are new weapons. But it just looks like they're charms. It doesn't look like they're introducing new weapons, just that you can maybe put these little decorations on them.
You can already do that. You can already put decorations on your weapons. Yep. I don't know.
I fully miss this?
I don't know if
why
they
am I
added
not
that
decorating my weapons
near the end. So the reason I discovered it is when you do the special edition Iceborne, which I don't know if we got, we disclosed this before, but Capcom sent us copies of Iceborne, but it was just base game Iceborne. So yeah. You had to go into, like, if I wanted the bonus edition stuff, you go to the PlayStation store, and I think it was $15 for like the add-on, the collector's edition. And when you buy that, it comes with one charm. And then, so like when I went to select my hammer, if you scroll all the way down to the bottom where you would like add, I can't remember where it is. If it was in front of me, I'd be able to tell you like the direct path to access it. But sure. When you're like in front of the smithy, like putting in decorations and stuff, there's a thing that says charms, and then you can add the charm to your hammer. And for the hammer, it goes on like the bottom of the handle, and it kind of like, I can't remember what it was. It might have been like a feather or something for this, the one in the collector's edition. I can't remember exactly. I might have had two, but yeah, you can add those to your weapons.
Got it. Okay. Interesting.
I did a really explanation of that, but yes, I'm very confident that the collector's edition of Iceborne gave you one of those decorations.
Get the. It looks like they are called pendants.
Pendants. Yeah. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah. I had no idea this was even a thing. I mean, I feel like I've seen this, but I don't know why I fully blanked out on this. This is something that I'm really into. And I'm disappointed that I didn't get into it sooner. I just got done setting up my radial menu, and I've decorated my house. Now I want to get pendants.
Get them pendants.
So yeah, tofu pendant, Umbrella logo pendant. There's a lot of stuff to this update, and it's all weird, and I love all of it. I feel like it's probably much more easy for them to get extra weird with crossovers like this when it's an IP that Capcom also owns. They have a lot more freedom of expression, I think.
Let's get to the other exciting stuff here. There's a lot of Monster Hunter stuff this week. First free title update for Iceborne brings Rajang and even more endgame content. For the first free title update for the acclaimed, this is Capcom's words, not mine, acclaimed Monster Hunter World Iceborne is now available, keeping the Monster Hunter tradition of robust post-launch support and extending the endgame content even further. The free update offers more challenging options for players to conquer, including the ferocious fan-favorite Rajang, more tempered monsters, and a whole new region of endgame for the endgame Gilding Lands area, and more. There's also a developer update video that kind of visually explains everything, but since this is an audio podcast, that doesn't really work here. Rajang is the centerpiece of the first update. The thunderous fan-favorite monster offers a challenge for even the most seasoned hunters. The hyper-aggressive fanged beast turns into a golden ball of fury when enraged, unleashing even more lethal attacks as its powerful arms deal damage in one swoop. However, defeating and utilizing its parts yield equally incredible equipment, including golden and black plate armor with high offensive skills. The Gilding Lands, finishing all the quests in Iceborne, is just the beginning, as hunters are rewarded with even more robust endgame content in the Gilding Lands. This endgame locale opens up several biomes with landscapes and traits reminiscent of maps from the main game, featuring more challenges, monsters, and amazing rewards. By investigating and hunting monsters in each biome, the higher the region level the location becomes, the difficulty and rewards increase. Materials from these quests offer customization options for weapons in both function and appearance. Also, certain monsters like Zenogre can only appear in the Gilding Lands once a certain region level has been reached. As part of the first update, a brand new volcanic biome has been added to the Gilding Lands and becomes accessible once a player has started the special assignment quest to battle the aforementioned Rajong. In addition to Rajong, new tempered monsters are also being added to challenge hunters. Tempered Gold Rathian and Tempered Silver Rathios. Additionally, this title includes gameplay adjustments with Gilding Lands based on players' feedback. Okay, so that in itself is a lot. Well,
it is a lot.
Depending who you ask, I think it's a lot.
It's also, just to, you know, because I have to, it's my job on this podcast. It's the Guiding Lands, not the Gilding Lands.
You made me go that whole time.
That's your punishment. It's okay. I read it as Gilding Lands the first time I read it too. But it is the Guiding Lands.
Your room updates. The first update also brings ability to visit other players' rooms, which I turned on today.
It's exciting.
So hunters can check out what others have decked out. Paid DLC options for decorations have also been added. For future updates, I almost read that as furniture updates. Jeez, I'm losing it. Furniture updates is just the beginning.
Furniture updates.
As previous series iterations, Iceborne will continue with more free updates. The next one is planned in November. They talk about the Leon Claire Tyrant stuff. They talk about the Horizon Zero Dawn. December will also have another update. So I know you're a big, I think we're both big fans of the room stuff.
Yeah. Yes. I'm excited about that.
Yeah, I didn't, I the only thing I did so far before we recorded was I went in and I turned on the room stuff and that was it so far. But yeah, the room, I don't know. I think the room stuff is really silly and doesn't actually, nothing matters. No video games matter, but I like it a lot.
Yeah, I'm a fan of that. Yeah, I like that because I like putting in the effort to my house and it makes it feel a little bit weird when I can't like show that to anybody aside from maybe just like posting a screenshot or like a little video on Twitter or something.
There is you're probably curious about the room stuff. There is Room Decor 1 Cute Decor Set, which contains a lot of things. Cute bed, cute chest, cute rack, cute, ooh, moving on from that, cute rugs, cute stuffed doll, cute floor. It is $10.
Oof.
And that's off the PlayStation store. It comes with a lot of things. You can obviously check the whole list. There's also a free Great Jaguarus figure that you can get from the PlayStation store right now. You have to go add it to your cart, download it. Doesn't cost anything. But you can add that to your room. There is a music player that you can now add to your room. It looks like an old phonograph. It has four songs on it. It's $3.99. There is also a giant stuffed doll set, which comes with three items, a giant stuffed feline, a giant stuffed poogie, and a giant stuffed grim thing. I can't ever say it.
Grimalkine.
Yeah, that thing. That's $2 if you would like to add that to your room. And that looks like all the room stuff they added. Unfortunately, the cute decor set doesn't come with the phonograph or the plushes. So all in all, you're probably spending, if you want all this stuff, you're spending about $16 for pretty much just cosmetic things. I think that's okay. I mean, like, if you really like Monster Hunter, like, this is not a pay-to-win thing. It is just something cosmetic, and if you spend time in your room or you have a lot of people that, a lot of friends you play with that plan on like visiting your room.
Yes.
I think that's awesome. Same with the stickers. Yeah, like I think buying stickers. There's a new set for stickers out right now. Monster Hunter World Iceborne sticker set, monster set, which comes with some Zenogre and some Tigrex stickers. It's $1.99 for those. I like when games do just like purely cosmetic stuff because it doesn't feel like you're missing out on anything.
Yeah, I do too. It makes it possible for people to continue to support and pay for like, I don't know, things that they want to add, things that like, cause really, I mean, even though everybody's like, oh, it's just cosmetic, whatever. Like it still takes time and effort to develop these things, to like model these various things and implement them into the game. So, you know, I mean, $2 for some stickers that somebody had to create, and you know, I'm cool with that. I'm fine with that, especially if it's something that like you want. It gives the ability for everybody to have the same game experience, but some people to still, you know, whale it up.
You're just gonna be jealous when you come to my room and it's playing some sweet music that I paid $4 for.
So does it's additional music, or it's just
So it's called a background music set volume 1. It says this content will add background music to your room's music player. It will add four songs: A Brand New Day, The Gracious Villagers, Moga on the Sea, and Harbor of the Sun. Music settings can be adjusted from your music player or by going to your room's housekeeper.
Are these themes from the... I'm going to have to look into it more, but it sounds like these are themes from the various core towns, right? Like the core hubs?
I would probably know the songs when I heard them, but because I never got the... I never thought of it, but I'm sure if I went to, like, iTunes, I'm sure the Monster Hunter soundtrack is in there. But I have no clue what any of the songs are called.
Yeah, I don't either. They sound vaguely like they would be referencing the like, core hubs from the previous games.
Like, I've got the Nergigante PlayStation theme, which plays Monster Hunter music, and it's good music, but I don't know the name of that song. I just like know I like it.
Yeah, that great Jagras figure though.
It's free. Get your great Jagras figure.
I'm looking at these cute house items right now, and it's taking everything in my power to not spend $10 on some virtual room decor.
Spend the $10.
Yeah, we'll see. I gotta play more first.
Tell me about it.
But step one is done.
There were some bug fixes here. Fixed an issue where graphics were set to prioritize resolution. Fixed an issue where Glavinus would not get caught in traps set by the player. Fixed an issue where that occurred in certain languages on the title update screen. Issue where data would not finish loading properly and players would lose control of the game viewing rankings of certain quests. Fix an issue where scout flies at level 3 and a monster is near death, the icon would not display correctly on the map. And then fix an issue where palicos would move to incorrect places. And there are a bunch of updates to the guiding lands.
Ooh.
It's like paragraphs of updates. So I would suggest that if you're not there yet, because you have to beat the game to get there, don't worry about it, because you won't experience what was before. if you are there, there are some major adjustments to regions 3 through 6 and region 7. It looks like region 1 and 2 were okay.
Good to go.
I think the final thing we're going to leave you guys with is that Micah has a radial menu update.
I do. Real quick, though, if you're playing on the PlayStation, I just saw this maybe yesterday when I updated to 7.0. They're removing Facebook integration from the PlayStation Network.
Oh, yeah.
So if you currently use your profile picture as your Facebook profile picture.
I think that's what mine is, yeah.
That's why I'm talking about it. It's going to go away soon.
I don't know what it's going to default to.
I don't either. Probably just the like generic character head, I would guess. So fix your profile pictures. Me, though, I fixed my radial menu.
Oh, yeah?
As you hinted towards.
Mm-hmm.
I put in the work to get my radial menu set up properly, and I like it a lot. I have the four options. I even renamed them so that they all have their own names. I have a combat essentials, which is mega potion, whetstone, max potion, antidote, hot drink, and then my mantles and an ancient potion for when I'm doing some extra struggling. And that's just, you know, the basic combat things that I use on a semi-regular basis that I need quick access to. And then I have a combat specifics radio menu, which is some of the extra combat things that didn't fit on the first one, and some more co-op items. I have the well done steak, which is just for me. I can't share my steak with everybody, unfortunately. As much as I wish I could, I can't. But life powder, demon powder, hard shell powder, mega barrel bombs, and then two traps and some trank bombs for when we're playing with a bunch of people and I need to throw some powders on everybody. I need to lay down some traps because the first one missed. We planted it and the monster went to a different area. I got the backup. And then the third one I labeled in the field, and it's just non-item specific things like signaling to signal that I've found a thing or pull the monster over here, please. The SOS flare for when I'm playing by myself and I just really want to get through this hunt really fast. I can just call somebody else in. Crafting mega potions, which I actually didn't know that you could put on your radial menu. You can put crafting on your radial menu, which is really nice. I can craft a full stack of mega potions and a full stack of flash pods. I have my capture net and my fishing rod on there. I also have Raider Ride. And, of course, one little sticker of two macaques. Pearl macaques clenching fists.
Like team three of my four radio menus are all stickers.
Well, now I have the goofing around tab. I don't know what else to call it, so I call it goofing around.
You should call it the bonkers tab.
The bonkers. Okay, I'll rename it to bonkers. I've got wave, the classic. Gotta have the wave.
Uh-huh.
I have a good work gesture. To say, like, hey, good job. You planted the trap and the monster walked into it instead of leaving to go to the next area. I have an essential shout-out. I have three shout-outs. One very essential for myself, which just says, my bad.
Mm.
And then I have a one to call out to capture it. So I can say either, like, capture or kill it. I have a congrats shout out, and then I got some stickers. Meat steaming and the sparkly poogie and a double thumbs up. That's my radio menu. It's mine and I'm really proud of it. I also have the headquarters radio menu, which is all goofing around. There's a little bit of extra communication in there, like, hey, let's post a quest, or I posted a quest, or I'm going to drop. Things that I can easily navigate to so that I don't have to go through the menus, pick the right thing to the right phrase, and then post it. And I gotta say, everyone was right. It has already made my life a lot easier. I feel like I'm on a new track. A better path to just making things way easier for myself in a hunt.
It takes a little bit to get used to, for sure.
Yeah. It's real hard to break a years and years old habit of just cycling with a D-pad to get through a whole inventory's worth of icons.
I feel like I still like some of my stuff on the item bar, like traps specifically.
Oh, sure.
I feel
yeah.
like the item bar makes me think a little bit harder.
Yes.
And like
definitely.
I'm not laying down traps every, 45 seconds.
Well, you only got one, so if you lay down once, that's
it. You don't know what materials I'm bringing to build traps in the field.
That's true. Good point. I really like it though. I like the like ease of communication, which I already knew existed. I just never used it before. I'm excited to use it more. And I also didn't know, and I'm really excited about the fact that I can like craft things on the fly. I don't have to pause in the middle of whatever I'm doing to go to the crafting menu and then pick specifically what I want to craft and then craft it. I can just select, hey, I have honey and I have potions in my inventory. I need some more mega potions. Just craft me a full stack of them.
Full stack.
It's pretty nice. Yes. But I do want to do a little bit more customizing shoutouts specifically for like hub communication. Just things that I normally would be communicating or people would be communicating to me or responses that I would normally give so that I can just do all of that in the hub without having to pull out my Discord and like have it up all the time. And I'm going to see what I can do as far as just relying on my shoutouts that I've crafted as a form of communication while I'm in the hub.
Well, speaking of communication, if you would like to follow us on Twitter, @CarvePodcast, or the show, @MicahTheBrave for Micah, @DraggingALake for me. Did you like that ending transition?
It was good.
It's pretty all right.
Speaking of communication.
That's our show for you guys. Good luck with Rajang if you have completed the game and you need some more difficulties in your life.
Yes.
If life is too easy, let me introduce you to Goku Monkey.
Good weapons too.
No
boner steel designs. So
they were listening.
They were listening.
They
or they
pivoted,
already planned that because
they pivoted
it's way
on a
too
dime.
Short. I'm sure that all happened within the last week.
Yeah. We will be back next week, of course. But hunters, keep on hunting those monsters.
And keep on carving those monsters and decorating your house and organizing your radio menu and farming for pendants.
Thanks for listening to The Carve. Quick shout out to our Life Powder supporters who support at way too much money a month, but thank you. Shout out to Alex, Brandon, Chris, Jonathan, Kenley, and Laventine. I definitely probably butchered one of those names. It's up to you to figure out which one it was. I'm just kidding. Thanks for listening. If you want to support the podcast, you can do so by heading over to patreon.com/carvepodcast. If you made it to the end of this part, just thanks for listening. You don't have to do anything, but just know that you're appreciated. Thank you.